Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. For 24 years, on Sunday from midnight to 6 a.m., a radio program broadcast across the mountains and into the jungles of Colombia.
Sí, muy buenos días. Agradeciendo a Caracol Noticias. A ti, señor Edwin Hoyos.
Voces del Secuestro, or Voices of the Kidnapped. In a mix of music and newscasts, that show aired messages sent by family members and friends who were missing loved ones. People caught up in the country's decades-long war with FARC and other groups. Thousands of the missing have been reunited with their families over the years. Thousands of others have not.
Some parts of the government say 60,000. Some NGOs say 100,000. Part of the issue is that a lot of people, until recently, were living in areas that were still conflict areas. So people might not have reported it because they were threatened or because they were scared. So there's a good number of cases now that are coming out after the peace deal that the authorities didn't even know about.
That's Julia Sims Cobb, now a Bogota-based journalist for Reuters, who, alongside photographer Juan Cristobal Cobo, documented the stories of families who used Voces del Secuestro to connect with missing families. But even for Colombians who had not lost a family member, the show was an outlet for a reckoning with their country's dark past.
Colombia's disappeared. It's a phenomenon that's been going on for more than 50 years. The country has had a civil conflict that started in 1964, parts of which are coming to an end now because of peace deals and demobilizations, but other parts of which continue. There's a lot of actors involved in the conflict here. There were rebel groups. There used to be multiple ones. Now there's just one active rebel group. There were also a lot of paramilitary gangs, as well as drug trafficking groups and the governments, the military that was fighting this ongoing civil conflict. And so the disappeared can be almost anyone. Some of them are social leaders or people who are involved in unions who were killed by one armed group or another because that armed group was trying to take control of certain territory and they didn't want to deal with community members who were fighting back. Some are journalists or other human rights lawyers, activists of some kind, members of certain political parties, and others that disappeared are just regular people who might have been in the wrong place at the wrong time or who were killed in commission of some other crime like robbery and their bodies were disappeared, or they're someone who is taken hostage.
So, Julia, this radio program, Voces del Secuestro, has gotten some notoriety in recent years, but it's been on the air for decades in Colombia. How did it get started?
Well, Voces del Secuestro was started 24 years ago by a journalist named Edwin Hoyos, and he was kidnapped by the FARC. And during his kidnapping, he was chained up next to another hostage. And that other hostage said to him, you know, you're a journalist. I don't ever hear anything about hostages like me. We listen to the radio here all the time, and we've always got it on, and they let us listen, but nobody ever talks about this problem. And so when Edwin was freed, he went back to his radio station and proposed that they start a show that would literally be a voice for the kidnapped, where families could call in to the radio show and leave a message for a loved one who is missing. People who are kidnapped could hear those messages from their families.
After decades on the air, I mean, there were thousands of families who reached out or tried to reach out to loved ones who were disappeared or kidnapped. Talk about the Mora family, because they're one of them.
So the Mora family, Miriam and Rafael, they're high school sweethearts, and one of their sons, Juan Camilo, went missing. He was 27. He went missing in 2006, and they're one of the families that really held out until the show ended. So the Moras called every weekend for Juan Camilo.
Today I heard the song Color of Hope, a melody that transported me to December 31st, 2005. When you danced and sang happily with your beautiful little daughter, happy to have all the family together, looking after everyone with the love that characterized you.
The daily routine is always the same, going to work, my classes. Life has continuity in the midst of this whole situation. But son, what takes us out of the routine sometimes is thinking of you, is recognizing that I love you so much.
And what about Leonor Carreño? She's another longtime caller.
Leonor calls for her brother Jorge, who was a member of the security services who disappeared.
Hermanito, lo quiero mucho, lo amo, cuídese.
Little brother, I care for you. I love you. Take care of yourself. Remember, there is a family waiting for you with open arms. The doors of my house are open, awaiting your arrival.
He's her younger brother, and she's really committed to the idea that because of his security service training and because of who he was as a person, that he will have survived whatever was put in his way. So she likes to call and just give him a message of perseverance and that, you know, God is looking out for him and the family's waiting for him.
I send the message and I feel relief, like now I can sleep.
Are there cases where we know somebody was kidnapped, abducted, being held, and they were listening?
Oh, certainly. I mean, according to the show's figures that they maintain, the database that they had, there are 24,000 families who called in over the show's lifetime. And of those 24,000, 20,000 of those people were eventually freed in some way, either rescued or ransomed or what have you. So the majority of people whose families called into the show came back alive.
And what have, if I can ask, what have kidnappers, abductors say about the show?
I mean, certainly what the show got from people who were held and then were freed was that hostage takers really liked the show in a weird way because it was a way of keeping hostages calm. You let them listen. It's kind of a treat. It allows them to feel connected to their family and was a way that kidnappers could sort of keep people from reckless escape attempts, from fighting back. At the height of the kidnapping problem in Colombia, the armed groups wanted these people to stay alive because they wanted to ransom them.
So, Julia, a show on the air for 24 years, it's become a staple in Colombia for very grim reasons, has now gone off the air. Is that the crossover point? Is that the point that tells Colombians that times have finally changed in their country, that a program like this is no longer needed?
I think it's debatable whether or not it's no longer needed. I mean, certainly for the families who continued calling in until the end, it kind of reinforces a sense of abandonment that they've had for a long time, that, you know, the state doesn't really care and isn't really motivated to help them find their loved ones or help them get answers about what happened. And certainly the former members of the armed groups don't care to help them either. Under the peace deal with the FARC, when they demobilize, are supposed to go through this process of talking about the crimes that they committed as rebels or, you know, when they were in the jungles or up in the mountains and giving as much information as they can about those crimes. So displacements, disappearances, murders, sexual violence. That process is going really slowly and is in some ways really disorganized. So I think that the show ending sort of reinforces that feeling that a lot of these families have that this is an issue that's going to be buried and they're not going to necessarily get the answers they want. For Colombia as a broader country, I think it certainly does signal that times are changing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that all the wounds from, you know, 5 decades of conflict are healing.
Voces del Secuestro, off the air in Colombia after 24 years. The voices of the families of the disappeared in that country. Julia Sims Cobb for Reuters, thank you so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.